So the other day I was watching Planet Earth, which
no surprise at this point.
Yeah, and
Maddie like that stuff with you?
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be rough if not, like, if you were like, I just want to watch about animals some more, and she's like, ugh.
Well, I think she, like, she'll kind of chuckle at me, and then she'll watch with me.
It's like, I want to watch Masterpiece Theater, or...
This, no.
Jeopardy.
No.
Okay.
I would watch Jeopardy every time it's on, though. I love Jeopardy. But anyways...
Nora's watching Jeopardy, right?
So, I was watching Planet Earth, I think it was called Frozen Planet.
Okay.
So, it was just basically the ice caps, life that goes on in the Arctic and the Antarctic. Mm-hmm. And... I found out that killer whales are the most terrifying creatures in the world.
Well, I mean, it's right there in the name.
Well, killer. You don't think about it. You're just like, that's cute. You know?
Yeah, they do make a lot of stuffed animals out of them. But I mean, but they put it right there in the title. It's a killer whale.
Yeah, so they are. They are. Like
if you're a seal or something.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So like, I watched, they basically... I think David Attenborough was the guy presenting it, which is just amazing. But he said, like, their hunting tactics are the most complex on the face of the earth.
Really?
Yes. And
well, I've never hunted anything while swimming, so that makes sense.
So just imagine a pod of like six killer whales just swimming around together.
That's like the plural term?
A pod, yeah.
Okay.
So there was like six of them, and they're just like swimming slowly together, go into these little floating chunks of ice, and they would like vertically rise up so their eye could see if anything was on it. And then like finally they find this one that has a seal on it.
No.
And the seal is just like chilling on a piece of ice trying to catch some rays. And basically like...
Is that a quote from David Attenborough?
No.
Just trying to catch some rays?
Well, he did say they were sunbathing. But basically what these creatures do is they'll line up in a row and go they'll swim very fast under the ice and at the exact same time flip their tail so a giant wave rolls the ice over.
What?
Yes. And then like, so, but it's like the seal will fall off, get back up. And like, that's like a continuous battle. And finally when they get it off, it's like, they're not done yet because the seal has like some ferocious teeth. The goal of the killer whale.
I mean, its other name is a sea lion.
Well, that's a different creature.
That's a different thing?
Yeah, a sea lion and a seal are different.
I don't know things about
it. Yeah, it's
things.
Okay.
How different are they?
Vastly.
Are they not, they're not similar?
I mean, they may be in the same like genus or something, but they're different animals.
I'm sorry. Carry on.
No, it's okay.
So, this battle keeps going.
Yeah, but like, so the goal of the killer whale is to drag the sea lion under until it drowns and then eats it, which is like terrifying.
Gosh.
I said sea lion, I meant seal.
They do it to the sea lions as well?
I don't know about that. But like, I feel kind of gross describing it because of how...
That is
there's way more intensity to it, like the way they do this thing.
You censored it for this telling.
Yeah, I cut it off. There was so many, like if the whole like wave flip was complex in your mind, which it is.
That's amazing.
There's like 10 other things that they do. That's like, how did y'all create that? How did you think of that?
Yeah. I mean, that's a fascinating thing that these guys are like, all right, we're going to go in attack formation alpha, you know,
but they like, they'll go very fast at the exact same time. Their tails will like, and there's just like,
wow.
And that seal is like, scrambling and then falls over the water and then like gets back up. I don't know.
Wow. And I'm still in shock that seals and sea lions are not the same thing.
I mean, there's probably like a marine biologist out there who's like, yes, they are
the same thing.
Yeah. And I'm just like,
one time I walked in the house when I think Anna was probably like 8.
Okay.
And I walked in the house after work and before I'd even set my bag down, she was like, quick, Dad, what's your favorite, you know, Arctic animal? And I was like, I don't know, penguins? And she was like, Daddy, those are Antarctic. And I was like, what? How am I supposed to know that stuff?
Yeah.
Especially like right off the bat like that. Like, what?
Yeah.
I gave the wrong answer immediately.
Yeah.
It's rough.
That's okay.
That's a fascinating thing. I remember the very first time I saw Jurassic Park and like they were talking about how smart the velociraptors are and how they were like talking to each other.
How do they know that?
And the Australian guy was like, clever girl. And then he just got completely bodied.
I haven't seen Jurassic Park.
Really? The original?
Yeah, but like, how do they know? Like, they're not that smart. They're not still around. You know? That's how I feel.
I think asteroid doesn't mean stupid. I think if you get wiped out because a foreign body from outer space.
Is that what it was?
I believe.
Where is it? I mean, this is not me trying to be like it? No, this is
Smallville.
Not me trying to be like
Smallville,
a
Kansas.
Okay. This is not me trying to be like a conspiracy. I honestly have no idea. I'm like, where is that thing? I don't know.
Yeah,
where
did it hit? The asteroid that killed the dinosaurs?
Yeah.
It's a great question.
Is the theory that it like hit the earth, which caused a gigantic dust storm, which created an ice age and killed them all? Is that how that worked?
I couldn't say.
I heard the other day that they believe that when dinosaurs were around, there was a higher percentage of oxygen in the atmosphere, which scientists believe meant bugs would be gigantic.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. Like just imagine a,
that's worse for me than the dinosaurs.
Like an Aragog sized spider.
Nope.
I mean like that's, I read about it.
I'm out on giant insects. That's a terrifying prospect.
Yeah.
Now I'm scared. Welcome to Ancient and New. I need the scriptures to get through this day now. Because
yeah.
Because I'm like, because I, at any moment, a line of killer whales could just create a wave while I'm trying to catch some rays.
Sometimes they like chase creatures up onto the shore and like,
what?
Have their bodies like on the shore.
That's like the sharks in Fortnite.
Yeah, that's exactly where they get that from. Man.
Do you want to start us today?
Sure.
We're going to talk about some scriptures that have been getting us through the week. And now I need some new ones to get me through the rest of this week.
Yes. Let us begin.
Where are you going to be?
John 14.
Oh, I'm going to turn there with you.
Yeah. Well, obviously we're on the like, I was trying to think of the, what a pilot would say. We're on our descent towards Easter right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, is it April 4th or is it the 11th?
April 4th.
I swear it was the 11th. I've been telling people the 11th.
Like they don't have a phone in their pocket.
Dang, I was way wrong. I told our entire high school Bible study it was April the 11th. So, sorry guys. Oops.
Do you think those guys listen to this show?
Jack does.
Nice.
I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Jack.
I thought you were talking about campaigners, my bad.
Oh, no. John 14. So, and we actually, the reason Jack is listening to this and he's like, we did this on Sunday night because we did. We looked into this on Sunday night. I just kind of have been flipping through a couple of different times a week, going through, bouncing back and forth between the Psalms and going through some things that Jesus says near the end of his life because, cool. Or his time here on earth. So, and this is one that jumped out at me. So this is John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. I mean, I love this whole thing, but I think the thing that I keep going back to is just how bold and grateful I am for do not let your hearts be troubled. Mm-hmm. You believe in God, believe also in me. And I think there's also a way that could be worded as a command, like believe in God.
Yeah.
You believe, also believe in me. Like, which there's a cool thing when I think about that. And it's, to me, I like to hit pause there and zoom out and think like, okay, what are things that I believe about Jesus that give me reason to not let my heart be troubled? Like when I feel that start good. Happening. Yeah. Like when I feel that, which this is cool. Cause I'm cheating. Cause we did this at high school Bible study the other night, and I asked them like, hey, when you think of your heart being troubled, what are some things that you think of? And what is that?
Like you already took a survey, like you already did a focus group on this. So
yeah.
All loaded.
Yeah. And they, you know, they were thinking of stress and things that make them worry and feel anxious and feel heavy. And we just kind of passed that around the circle and thought of some things that, that do that in us. And we looked at some other scriptures where Jesus had already supplied an antidote for that and just said, like, okay.
That's cool.
Yeah. And you look at the idea of, hey, believe in me. And these are some things that I've said that when you start to feel that way, let those go to your head and see what that does in you.
This is really cool. I feel like there's a part of me that wishes that you had like a PDF, you know, like there was a while there where businesses would have like, they would have like an infographic mm-hmm. on their website or on their Twitter account or something like that, that you could just download like a PDF that was like shortcuts for understanding this, you know?
Okay.
And like, and I think it's just like one page, well laid out, good colors, all that kind of stuff where it's just like, here's a shortcut to understanding all these things. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday I got my first shot of vaccine. I got the Pfizer and I was sitting, and when I got it, the lady who administered the shot was like, you need to hang around here for 15 minutes and you need to read this brochure. And it was just like a one page thing of like all the things I need to understand having had this shot. And so as I'm listening to you describe this, this is so cool because I wish that you had like a layout, like, okay, like at the top, you believe in God, believe also in me. And then it's like, what if you, like, if you believed in Jesus, your heart would not be troubled in these ways. So like categories, anxiety, like whatever, fear, or like whatever the thing would be, loneliness or
you know, funny you should ask,
insecurity or something like that.
Funny you should ask.
Okay.
I don't have a PDF, but I have an iPhone note of a bunch of different scriptures.
You do?
Yeah,
that's
I do.
Amazing.
So Matthew 28:20.
Yeah. I'm with you always.
I'm with you always. John 6:37.
Mm. Which one is that?
I'm trying to remember off the top of my head because I didn't. But like, I just, and that was something we did is we passed it around and we thought of things. I'm turning to it right now.
Is that the I'm the bread of life?
No, that is all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I'll never travel with.
I'll never cast out. Yeah.
Yeah. So that one was so interesting to me because I just thought, and there's another one in here about, I looked at the places in John 15 where he talks about being their friends.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where like, if you do feel troubled, it's easy to talk to a friend about it. And it's also, if that's a good friend, they will never drive you away. They're just going to listen to you.
That's cool.
And they're going to hear what you have to say. And then, you know, if you ask for it, they're going to give you some advice. It's a crappy situation when your heart feels troubled and you talk to a friend and they're like, oh, that's fine. Or like, eh, it's not a big of a deal or whatever. You know, it's like, that is driving you away because it's, hey, forget that you feel that way.
That's, suck it up.
Yeah. Get over it. That's literally my childhood. So crap. Anytime I say something like that, I'm like, what if my dad actually listens to this?
What if your mom listened to the show?
Yeah. Dad was the wrong word.
Yeah.
That is not the case anymore.
That
though.
Is the wrong word.
That is not the case anymore in my life.
Suck it up.
My mother's, both of my parents are very gentle people, especially with feelings now. They really are.
That's awesome.
But anyway, so that, I mean, it was just cool to like kind of work backwards and say, what are reasons why I need to not let my heart be troubled? What are some things that Jesus has promised, Jesus has said, Jesus has done that are like, oh gosh, when I start to feel that, when I start to feel the troubling of my heart, whatever that may be, here are some evidence and some truth that Jesus has like a vaccine for that.
This is cool because, like the thing that I'm thinking about is the intentionality involved, like you making the note and like having some scriptures in your back pocket for it. Because so like, you know, you and I this year both got dogs that live in our house now.
That's right.
And like you have to do some things differently in your house when you have dogs. Like, you know, we have to set trash cans up on counters because otherwise she will like eat things in the trash can because she's gross because she's a dog. Or like we can't, like, even if it's a nice day, if you go out on the porch to go get something like the mail or something like that, you can't leave the front door open because she'll go outside. In other words, I can't let certain things happen because we have Yoshi in the house now. And I like the way that Jesus's language is like, don't let your heart be troubled. Like if you don't take some steps to stop this, your heart will be troubled.
Yeah.
And so like, there's some things I got to do. Like we've got to make sure before we open the door that she's on leash because we don't want her to run away.
Right.
And it's like, my heart will do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And so I need these, Like, I need that PDF.
Right. Well, there's also a thing too where you could take that and add, like, you know, if I was smart about it, I could have had another note below it that was like, here are direct reasons in my life that Jesus has done this in this situation.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to, I mean, I think it's easy for us to like have a hard season. Jesus gets us through it, you know, quickly acknowledge it, and then it's gone. When I think a lot of times those need to be moments that we can recall and say like, hey, remember that time this happened and Jesus clearly did this, this, and this, especially once you get through it, when you're a little past a season like that, I think it's a good practice to look back on it and say like, this is very apparent that the Lord was in that time of my life. This is very obvious where he cracked a door open and I like sidestepped that thing.
That's good.
And you know, like whatever that thing may be, I think those are important things to recall. Because I think they help you when it comes up again, when you're like, I'm picturing like a hallway that you're walking down and it's like, for whatever reason, in this 20 yards of it, the lights were out.
Yeah.
But there was like a little door that I was able to like slip through and go to the next hallway where the lights were working again. Mm. And I think it's cool to like get, you know, get to the end of that hallway and turn around and look and say like, oh, that was obvious that the Lord provided like another way for me to go through this. And then to remember that whenever you get to another season like that.
That's good.
You're welcome. Oh, you didn't say thank you. That was not me trying to be snarky. That was not, I wasn't even trying to be.
You're welcome, world.
No, I don't ever feel that way.
I love the tenderness of this passage. I'm so glad you brought it up. Okay, I want to look at Mark chapter 14 real quick. And you're in John 14, I'm in Mark 14. And we're both kind of on the, we're both coming at things from the exact same night.
Buckle your seatbelts. Please do not leave your seat. We're on our descent to Easter.
This is the same night, a little bit earlier in the evening. I'm going to start in verse 13. So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, the teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared for the Passover. It's cool for a lot of reasons. One, you know this about me. Probably not everybody that listens to this knows this, but like, I love a heist movie, like where you make like a really complicated, weird plan, and then the whole thing like comes together. Like I will watch any of the Ocean's movies anytime. If somebody just says, hey, you want to watch Ocean's 12? I'm like, yes, with Francois Toulour. Yes, absolutely.
I don't know who that is, but yes.
He's like the French guy that's trying to beat out Danny Ocean. Have you seen Ocean's 12?
Yeah, it's been a while. It's where they try to rob that house. Is that right?
They do rob a house.
Yeah.
But they're also like trying to get one of those Fabergé eggs out of a museum.
I thought that was Ocean's 13.
That's 12. 13
with
is the one.
Julia Roberts?
Yeah.
But, I thought that was... Oh, yeah, you're right. My bad. Of course you're right. That's my fault. That's your movie series. I'm saying you're right.
You're like, welcome.
Yeah.
But like I'll watch those movies anytime. I love this idea of like a complicated plan and stuff like that. It seems weird. And it's like, how do all the pieces get together? How do you know? Like you find out so many times in those movies that like Danny Ocean, which is played by George Clooney, he just like knows everybody. Mm. And it's like, there's an element of this in this little scene that Jesus is like, all right, here's the deal. Because he was being hunted at this point. I mean, they like the leadership of Jerusalem is like closing in the ranks around him. They're looking for him. They want to kill him. And so they're outside the city and he's like, okay, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have the Passover. And what I want you to do is I want you to go into the city. When you go into the city, at this entrance, you're going to see a guy carrying a water jar, which was like, that would have been odd just because that wasn't normally kind of dude's work in those days. And so like, it's going to be odd. And then you're going to follow him. Just follow him. You know, and then whenever he walks into a house, you also go into the house. You know, it's like this odd thing. But the thing that I loved about this little scene this time when I read it was that he said, you're going to go somewhere and there's going to be a room where everything's already ready for us. Mm. So then, you know, bring the food, like make the preparations there. And then they went and did it and they found everything exactly as Jesus had said. And I think there's a place in my life with my own, we're going to kind of travel back to worries and fears for a second, but like my own worries and fears where if I could get my mind and my heart around the fact that like Jesus is laying out situations for me every day, they're already prepared. It's already set up. It's already done. I just need to go and do what he's asking me to do. And I'll find everything exactly as he says. Mm. And there's just a place in my heart where to certain extents on different days, I basically don't believe he's in control of anything. Mm. And I don't believe he knows what he's doing. I don't believe he has a plan. I believe I'm just like a free agent in the world. And it's why I'm afraid. It's why I'm nervous. It's why I feel so shaky about this situation or that situation, because like, you know, it's like if I had been in this situation and he said those words, I'd be like, wait a minute, I'm just going to walk into the city. There's just going to be a guy carrying a water jar on top of his head. And then I'm just supposed to follow them. And then they're just already going to know that you want to eat the Passover in their house. And the room's already going to be ready. Come on, man. Like, yeah. It's already going to be swept and clean and there's lamps in it. Come on. And then like, that like the way that I very often live my life is that's the way I would have answered had I been one of those disciples. But how cool would it be to just to think this is the way Jesus does me is like he's got crazy stuff organized. He knows everybody. He's got all these connections. He's got all this stuff laid out. Like in Psalm 23, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You know, it's just like, you've got stuff going on I don't know anything about. And then I get there and I find out everything is exactly the way you said. I would just love to get to practice this more, to get my heart in that place a little bit more.
There's a couple things in here. One, just after reading John 14, I love the imagery of having a room prepared. I just think it's cool.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, he tells them this in Mark 14 and then in John 14, he's saying, I'm going to, you know, I've got a place prepared for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, which is cool. Cause someone brought that up Sunday night when we were talking about this, they were like, yeah. I wonder if that's a thing that he had talked about for a while. And I was like, I didn't think about it
earlier in the day.
Yeah. And it's like, wait, earlier today he talked about preparing a place for them. Yeah. But I wonder if I'm thinking about the two disciples.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I've never made that connection.
I hadn't either. And I was just like, wait, we just read this. It sounded just like this.
Yeah.
I wonder if the two disciples he told this were surprised by this or if they were at a place that was like, yeah, of course he said it. It's going to be this way.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in my life, I am more often surprised than not.
Yeah.
I'm still at a place where I'm like,
oh, cool. That worked out.
Yeah. We're like, oh gosh, I can't believe that went that way. Or like, yeah. I'm just shocked that things happen as Jesus say they're going to still.
Yeah.
Or I brace for the worst.
Right.
And then it's a good thing. And I'm like, oh, I didn't see that happening. Or like whatever the thing is. And I just want to get past that. I want to get past that in my life where I'm like not anticipating the opposite happening. Not expecting the worst in this situation.
Yeah.
Not expecting Jesus not to come through on this. Because, and I know what I'm doing. I'm lessening the blow for when it does go bad. I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm going to prepare myself for the worst. So when it is the worst,
undersell and
it's like a pillow. Yeah, just like, okay, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't a bed of nails that I landed on. I was ready for it.
And Jesus doesn't do it that way. He doesn't undersell and over deliver.
No.
He sells and delivers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. He's not a used car salesman trying to get me to buy like a 2007 Mazda 3, you know?
So, I just pictured somebody listening to this and they're like, hey, I drive a Mazda 3.
Brad Warren. was literally trying to think, what is Brad Warren's car?
There's no, this is so, he can't defend himself.
No, it's We're amazing. Just,
we have the microphones.
Yeah. We have a lot of power to about 12 people. No power at all. We have no power at all. Neither of us feel that way. Anyways, I just, I like, I wonder if his guys, whoever these were, which do we, are in any of the scriptures, do we, any of the gospels, do we find out who these two guys are?
I don't know. I can't.
It makes me wonder if it's like Philip and Andrew or something. Because like.
Yeah, like Thaddeus and Bartholomew.
Yeah, he always, you know, it's always.
Peter.
So he took Peter, James, and John. And we all know it. You know, it's like.
Right.
He brought these three.
There's a little eye roll, like, of course.
Yeah. Which, but I wonder if these two were like, there's no way this is going to happen. This is so weird. Or if they were just like, all right, there he is. Like, okay, here's like the room. All right.
James, but James, the son of Alphaeus.
Yeah. Just like one of the guys you don't hear about often.
Well, you know, I think about, like, this is so, it's so easy to do this for somebody else. Like, it's easy for me to say, like, oh, Thomas, remember a few years ago when you were thinking, I'll never get a wife. And then like we zoom out and now you're just like, you have one. Mm-hmm. And you prayed for one and you have one. And it's just like everything.
Best one ever.
Yeah. Too. And everything turned out exactly as Jesus said, you know, it's just like exactly as he had planned it to be.
Yeah.
You know? And it's so easy on this side of it. And it's easy for me to do that about your life.
Yeah. And I think I love that you're saying that because there's been a lot of times where you or D-Rod or Potsy or someone has been like, you remember that? And I didn't, know, it's like, I did not remember that way. There's been times when Maddie's done that and it's just been like, no, I forgot that. And I think it's a really important thing of friends because like, let's say, and I'm not meaning to be blasphemous, but let's say that this is, Andrew and Philip.
Right.
And it's like the rest of their life, Philip can say to Andrew, remember that time Jesus said that was going to happen and then it happened?
Yeah.
And, you know, if Andrew's having a hard time, oh my gosh, yes. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And that, you know, that I love the way Mark wrote it. It was just as Jesus said it would be.
Yeah. There was a thing that happened the other day where I had lunch with one of my best friends who is moving back here, just bought a house here and he's moved away for the past 2 years. And we were having this conversation about a couple of things we'd been praying about. And like 2 hours later he texted me and he said, I got emotional today because when I drove away, I realized that for 2 years I've been praying for that thing for you. And then it happened.
Wow.
And I said, I felt the same way because for 2 years, since the moment you moved out, I had been praying that you would move back somehow.
Wow.
And you just bought a house.
That's so cool.
And it was like, it was sweet because we reminded each other, like I'd been praying for that and I watched it happen and I'll never forget that it went that way. And it's so, I think it's so cool.
That's cool. That's the backside of your PDF, the remember part, yeah, where he did stuff for you.
Yeah.
The front side is the scriptures you're supposed to believe in the backside.
That's right. So in 6 weeks when I'm having a hard time,
yeah,
like I hope that friend will say, remember that time?
Remember that time that he told them to go into the city and it was just as he said it would be.
Yeah. Remember that time when you prayed for this for me and I prayed for this for you.
Remember that time that he sent an asteroid that changed the atmosphere so that we don't have giant prehistoric insects anymore.
Yeah. Like what if the atmosphere was 28% oxygen? Like I could go run a marathon, no question asked, you know, it wouldn't even be a marathon. It'd be like, I ran 26.2 miles today. Cool. Me too.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then guys like Tom would be like, yeah, well I ran a cool 100. So
I ran a cool 100 and barely sweated. Man. Interesting.
Fun.
But that was on a Snapchat thing, so I don't know if it was true or not.
Oh, well, see, the whole thing's thrown into confusion now.
Well, I think it is, though, because some of those are like, you know, it's like science or like Nat Geo has like a Snapchat that you can like subscribe to.
It's raising invalidity now.
Yeah.
If it's or Nat like, Geo.
You know,
it's like Nat Geo on Snapchat is not the same as Nat Geo on like PBS.
I think it is.
They're run by different people, probably. Probably one is run by this dude, and then the Nat Geo and Snapchat's run by his, like, 20-year-old daughter.
Probably, yeah.
It's like Reezer. Because the college Young Life Instagram is run by Abigail Reezer.
For all of College Young Life?
Yeah. Well, Midwest. Yeah.
That's funny. That's awesome.
I'm not throwing into doubt the things Abigail puts on the Instagram. It's very good.
I haven't looked, but I'm sure Abigail does a great job with it.
She does a great job.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to post a photo on Instagram right now if you paid me $100. And I run my works Instagram account.
One of the statements that you just said wasn't true. If someone gave you $100, you could certainly post a photo on Instagram.
One thing I found out, though, if you're a millennial in an office setting, it doesn't matter who the IT guy is. You are the IT guy.
They're all coming to you.
Thomas, it won't work. It's just like someone like banging on the enter button. I'm like, no, stop.
That's how Potsy comes to me. And half the time it's with a PC and I don't know. I haven't used one in 17 years. Thanks for listening, folks. We love y'all. I am Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood. Cleansing this my plea, Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, what a fount I know, nothing but the blood. This is all my righteousness.